down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ehlers.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Yes, sir. You mentioned just now, because I was calling to speak about that, nine members of the government, well, nine members, select few got this vaccine. I think the prime minister, the attorney general, and so forth. My issue is why was our head of state, our governor general, was not included in this nine? I find that is mind-boggling based on her position in the country, her age, and now she's in a compromising position. That's one. Two, the government is speaking as it relates to the 50,000 vaccines they're going to. It's actually going to be 100,000 vaccines that are going to cover 50,000 persons. They spoke about frontline workers, the nurses, doctors, they included the fire service, the police, etc. And nowhere in that equation was the word teachers mentioned. In order to make our schools safer and that we could resume some normalcy in schools, the teachers should be made a priority in order to get our children back to schools. This COVID-19 has body slammed our education system. I'm disappointed that nobody mentions that the teachers should be the ones that getting this vaccine first so that we can have a safe education system resume. That's my contribution today. I would love to know why the Governor General was not given one of those vaccines. The Minister of Health, I agree the Prime Minister should be one, but I can't imagine why our Governor General was not included.
All right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. Yeah, 11:38.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm great, man. I want to wish you a wonderful day, sir.
Same to you.
I can divert a little bit from the ongoing program.
Sure.
Right. All right, recently I applied to Flow for the internet service. I wanted the bare internet. I was told you can't get the internet. You got to do this package. I said, but I just want the internet service. That is all I want. I can't get it anyhow. I had to take the package. And I want to tell you, it was from last week. The service is extremely poor, Mr. Ellis. I used to have caller's ID. I don't get it anymore. And if I'm on the phone, within about 15 minutes, my phone just starts to beep and it goes off, it cut out. I have to redial whoever I might be speaking to. They're saying,
so you're gonna call them?
But I haven't finished yet.
But I can't fix your problem. You know that. That's a problem. You have contracted with them to get a particular service. That service is not adequate. So the first line of approach in this is to talk to them and say this is inadequate.
But you think that I would have just come to talk to you about it on the program? I would have gone through all the steps already, Mr. Ellis.
All right. Well, I needed to hear that.
But you didn't let me finish. You started by saying, well, I can't. I was about to tell you the steps that I've been through with them.
But please tell me.
Right, because I made a I called them. I told them about it. They're saying two technicians here, which the technicians were good. There weren't no problems with them. They tell me I got to get it through from the main office and all that. Well, I had to call the 1-800 number. I made a report on it. My service was good before. Well, it was good before they come and actually give me this new service. And then I find salons there. I'm going to make this clear to you. They are forcing this package on you. They are forcing it on you. And if I have to give you the details, you would be shocked and surprised. The individual who helped me, because when I told him that I just wanted the package, I wanted the internet. He said, man, no, We ain't getting you that. You can't get that. You got to take this package. The individual had left
things. ...on the company. But
right.
you've said basically that you feel as though you're being forced to take the package.
Yes.
And in your judgment, the package is inadequate. What
yes.
is inadequate about it?
Because I didn't want Floor TV. I didn't want that. I just want, could I just have the internet service? That is all I wanted. I didn't want no Floor TV. And it is like, this is where God get.
Because they may very well recognize that a number of people are opting only for the bandwidth and they don't want the TV.
But that's what a lot of people want.
What additional price are they asking for the TV? What was the difference between the TV price and the and just the bandwidth?
My bill is going to be I can't remember, so I don't want to lie. I'm not going to go there, so I don't want to lie.
You say the service is inadequate because
yes.
they have asked you to take TV when all you wanted was bandwidth.
That
don't classify as inadequate. That classifies as though you get more than you wanted.
But
that doesn't say that the quality service is inadequate.
But my system is not working properly. Up to yesterday, I didn't have any internet service.
How many days has this been?
This was since last Monday that I had this service. I lost internet about 3 or 4 different times since they offered me this package.
What did they tell you?
Well, you're going to call this 1-800 number. They say they're going to look into it. That's all I'm hearing. And
so for the 3 or 4 times that you have lost service, all you have gotten is that they're going to look into it. They've never
yes.
come back to you and said, this is the problem and we are working on it or anything like that?
Well,
problem?
As I said to you, there were 2 technicians who came here. One of them said...
Hold on. You're saying to me that in the periods that the 3 or 4 times that you lost service, tell me how many times technicians went to your house?
Well, before I actually lose it, 2 technicians came here. And they checked it out. The guy said the last technician said he have to refer it back to the office, which he said that they did. Nobody called me from the office to say anything.
2 technicians came to your house
yes.
before you lost service? That's what you said? Before you lost service?
Hold on. When the first one came, my problem was that I wasn't having caller's ID anymore. They came to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Which he said he cannot do anything about it because he doesn't have he doesn't have a laptop. No, he doesn't. Yeah, he only had a tablet. So he said the other guy that come, he's going to have a laptop where he can plug it in. And he came because I told him I lost caller's ID and the numbers were coming up tripled. And any person who called me, I wasn't seeing the identification of the person anymore. He said he can't do anything about it, which they were pleasant. I had no problems with them. He said he have to pass it on to some person higher. Up to now, I haven't heard anything from them. And to be honest with you, I am going to take out the box as soon as the lockdown or whenever it's over. I'm going to take back the box because I don't need it. All I want is internet.
So
that is my main thing.
What I'm hearing from you is that because you lost your caller ID, technicians came. Those technicians came once. You had 2. One came on one occasion. The other one came subsequent to that.
Yes.
You're still without caller ID. But in addition to that, you lost your internet service 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
And nothing has been done about that. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, just in case they call me, I leave your contact details with the producer because somebody from Flo may want to speak with you directly, okay?
Yeah, could I say one more thing?
Sure.
No. I usually listen to those, what would you call them now, on evenings when they have the briefing from government?
Yes.
On the right.
News conferences.
Right, the news conferences. I listen. And I listen because you like to know what's going on. But I make it clear. Yesterday, I heard the Attorney General speaking about red vans. I'm not saying that there's a common violate the laws and rules. But the part that really tickled me yesterday evening is when he laughed at, oh, you know, barbarians like a lot of bread. And he sort of like made fun of it. And to me, I must honestly tell you, I am never impressed by when he speaks. Never impressed. And bread is nothing to laugh at. They have some people, bread is the star for life. And yesterday evening, he made like fun. Oh, man, and I like a lot of bread. Barbadians like, bread sells all over the world.
Why is it that you're not impressed when he speaks, though?
To be honest, I don't take him wholeheartedly. I am not convinced with nothing that he says. It don't make me feel good to listen to him. That is my
Why is that? Why is that? Is it because he always has a smile?
Not because he got a... To me, he's not convincing to me. And I am not the only person to have a lot of people might not want to call in and say, but nothing that he says really gets to me. And that is the truth.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Now, there are three queries I would like to have this morning. The first one, at your station, is there any group of persons designated as newscasters whose job is to read the news?
The best way for me to answer that is this. Most people who are recruited as announcers on the station are expected, it's a prerequisite for most of them to be able to present news. In addition to that, people who come in as reporters in the company have for quite some time been required also to be able to present news. Now, relatively young people in the industry will have to go through a period where they are exposed to training and development in that regard. And so they will not necessarily be the ones that you would want to be doing major newscasts. So they would do minor newscasts. To put it quite bluntly, I'm satisfied that in the company, we have enough people. We have enough people. There's a lot of noise in the background, sir. I don't know if something is happening there that you could minimize that noise. But we have enough people in Starcom that you can have the newscast read and read well. So that's my answer to your question.
I am not. So all of these people who read the news, do they go through any training? Do they have any training?
I think that we have enough people are here to read news who have had some training in how to present the news. Yes, they are enough.
So you don't believe that reading? Do you believe that reading is an art, and everybody hasn't mastered this art of reading?
But what's your complaint, therefore? You've asked me these questions, I want you to come. I want you to cut
I'm
to the chase and tell me how you feel.
Some of the persons who present the news.
Okay.
Some of the persons who present the news, when I hear them reading the news, I'm given the impression that everything they read, something major is about to happen in the country. The way how they read the news, they give the impression that every news item they read it appears as though something is about to happen in the country. You read how they're reading you. So I don't know if they have mastered the art of reading or what.
Well, that's your complaint, and I don't really believe that that's a complaint that can be applied across the board to everybody. There may be one or two people who come across that way to you, but that to my mind is not widespread, and it can be addressed even just by listening to complaints like yours. Yes, good afternoon and welcome to Down the Brass Tacks. So there you have it, the news that we have another COVID death in the country. Somebody sent me this observation here. They said this new variant isn't playing. Its rate of acceleration from being relatively well to morbidity is startling. In this regard, a question you may wish to raise is whether the authorities are keeping tabs on and or investigating any deaths that are occurring at home. The writer says it is entirely possible that some people may be dying from COVID-related illness at home. Of course, these are not recorded as such if they in fact happen. Now, if older people are presenting late at hospital with COVID symptoms and dying quickly after, who is to say there aren't some who might never make it that far? But since it's interesting that this person should say this to me, because I went to a funeral yesterday, and I heard an observation from the funeral director, Ken Jones, that I want to share with you now. And this is what he said, had to say to me.
David, I find that in December, we always get a spike in death in December through the years. But I find there's a big spike now in January. There, my funeral, for example, we had like maybe 70, 80, 19 cases in a short space of maybe 2 weeks span, which is not normal.
What would be the norm?
It's a cold off in January. Like, generally, you don't get so many deaths in January. Right? My brother, he had a funeral home also, and he called me and told me he had 13 cases. And I mean, then he told me some of the funeral home, maybe 20. So I find that's a lot of deaths for January, which is not usual. So it bothers me if we are really knowing the full way dying, if they die from COVID, dying gay, what we don't know. And that's a bonus. It's worrying me. I feel a lot of people are dying from dengue. I mean, from COVID, maybe at home. Because the death certificate is written at home by a doctor. I'm not saying the doctors are right or they're wrong, but I'm saying that maybe I have a family doctor. He said I died from, say, a heart attack. That one is COVID related.
What kind of ages are you talking about?
Oh, I find, well, so far I have two dengue cases, which is a young boy, not a young person, but we find some elderly people have been dying at home, which is, as I said, it's not normal to me. It's worrying me, because it's not normal for January that you have so many deaths in January.
So that was the comment that I got from Ken Jones, the funeral director, as he observed what he has seen as a trend among some of the funeral homes. Now, I checked with other funeral homes, and I checked with Lyndhurst, for instance, which is a major player in the business, and I checked with Downs & Wilson, and they did not report that kind of upsurge in business in January. But it says to us really that perhaps we need to be getting more information here. We need to be looking at the whole question of autopsies as well in Barbados. What has the upsurge in COVID deaths done in that regard? And to what extent are we having a stronger reliance on the family physicians who are going to these to homes? What are they seeing? And what is the system? Is it possible that this system may well be hiding the full story as it relates to COVID-related deaths? That's the question that's on the table. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
I want to say something. I don't mean it out of anywhere bad, but a gentleman was speaking to you just now, mm-hmm. and he talked about bread.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Attorney General said yesterday about Bajans liking bread, and he said he was laughing. Okay, I saw it, but to me, I don't think he was laughing. And when he said that Bajans like bread, that is true. But what is the point in having bread vans driving through an area and everybody from in that area want to come and buy bread at the same time? We might as well go out and buy the bread as somebody have the COVID in it and all of us dead. That way, the body wouldn't have to worry if that is what he wants or anybody else wants. We wouldn't have to worry. We wouldn't have to worry because Mr. Jones, Lenhurst, everybody would get work and they would be able to get it fast. Mm.
Yeah, I think that the caller really picked up what to me was a minor point in the major issue that the Attorney General was putting his focus on, and that's exactly what you're saying, that we got to be careful how many people are converging on these vans, because ultimately it exposes us to danger. Now, to pick up on this issue about people loving bread, or I think that's a given. Incidentally, I also noticed that a lot of Barbadians are trying to move away from bread for health reasons. And that's what they are taking.
Right.
So
the both sides of the coin. Even if all are not moving away from it, the ones that want to take it, they don't have sense to understand. They're not hearing what's going on mm-hmm. in the island. They cannot understand that it is everybody else's health at risk.
There's a certain...
People go to a van.
There's a certain herd instinct that Barbadians have demonstrated in certain of these instances. And it is not peculiar to Barbadians, you know. It seems as though, you know, when you put people in particular circumstances, they generally speaking tend to react that way. There are others, it's like they go into the supermarkets. The supermarket is not only, it's a phenomenon for me to see how Barbadians flock to a supermarket before a bank holiday. You know, it's absolutely amazing. What is it that is going to happen on this day that will create that? And now that we're into COVID, you know, you see it on a bigger scale.
The same thing. Everybody.
So what's the psychology of it?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But today, Wednesday, Thursday, that is Friday, that is the market is still open. You can count the people out there. Probably on two hands.
Is your radio still loud? Is your radio up?
No.
Is your radio up? Okay.
No.
Yeah. But as we speak about it, the real question that is before us is, so what is it in the process that we have right now that can be done to change that behavior? What is it that we can, is there a public policy that the government can adopt? Because it means that we as people are not responding in the way that we ought to.
That we should. And you can't just say, shut down every place. Okay, they're giving us a little breather, a little length. that we can get things, we can do things, but we need to do it in the right place.
Well, let me ask you something. If people are flocking to somebody who's selling bread at a van or any other place, isn't it the responsibility of the person who is selling to make sure that they protect themselves by asking the people to behave in a particular way or to line up or something like that? Isn't that self-preservation?
Certainly. But we must all remember, he might be protecting himself. He doesn't care about who's out there because he's selling to make money.
Wow.
He's selling to make his money. So don't care who come around. He has nothing to do with that because he know he has himself protected. And if you come out and you're not protected, I ain't nothing to do with that. Tell me how much bread you want, sir, ma'am.
But if you die, there's one less customer to sell bread to.
But he might get another customer before that customer get buried.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Okay, sir.
1214. Hello. Welcome. This is down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Turn your radio down.
Yeah, sir. Hello.
Okay, sir. 1214. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Yes, can turn your radio off.
Yeah.
Now, look, I need to give you this information because they're holding this back, really, to me. The senior, this person who has died, they say he is a senior who lived alone. And on February 3rd, after not being seen for some time, first of all, it says it has been a difficult 48 hours in the fight against COVID-19 in Barbados. A third and fourth Barbadian have died in this period, bringing the death toll from the virus to 18. This is a release that has come from the COVID communications unit. It says the island's latest COVID-19 casualties are an 83-year-old man who passed away at the accident and emergency department of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital on February 4th. That was yesterday. The senior lived alone, and on February 3rd, after not being seen for some time, friends and neighbors broke into his rural home in an attempt to help him. He was found to be unwell and was taken to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, where he was seen in the accident and emergency department. He died there yesterday. The elderly gentleman's passing brought the death toll to 17. This morning, a 75-year-old female passed away at Harrison Point. The lady was a former patient of the geriatric hospital in St. Michael when she took ill. She was admitted to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital on January 27th, but was transferred to Harrison Point 2 days later when a PCR test showed her to be COVID positive. The release goes on to say deepest condolences are extended from the Ministry of Health and Wellness to the families and loved ones. Minister of Health and Wellness, Colonel the Honorable Jeffrey Bostick, described the case of the elderly gentleman as a very sad one. He said this shows the importance of being our neighbor's keeper and looking out for each other. This is a time to get back to the traditional community spirit and support each other, he says. Sympathizing at the passing of the elderly lady, the minister said that her case shows the necessity of being vigilant in relation to the elderly, who have been the majority of those dying from COVID in Barbados. The majority of our seniors are getting infected in their homes through contact with close relatives, caregivers, and friends who are circulating in public and are then in contact with the elderly. Minister Bostick cautioned Barbadians to be very careful around senior citizens and those who suffer from chronic communicable or non-communicable diseases. We should definitely be wearing our masks around these vulnerable persons, washing our hands frequently, and maintaining the distance of 6 feet. Lives depend on our observing the safety protocols and guidelines. You know what strikes me, though? Barbadians were observing these things for a while. In the better part of this COVID experience, when we only had 7 deaths or so down to December, whatever Barbadians were doing around the elderly and around their neighbors seemed to be working. So, question is, what has changed so drastically to create the kind of environment in which we find ourselves at the moment?